I am Zion Palmieri, and this is the ASN Coaches Show.
For this next week, Coach, of course, your first game coming tomorrow against the Marion Giants.
That was truly two really good teams.
You make mistakes, you got to learn and move on.
The Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEN.
We welcome you here live to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. Appreciate you all tuning in. Alongside Lucas Williams, I'm Dawson Perrell. We hope you're all having a wonderful Monday evening. We got a great show planned for you folks here today. We're going to be sat down with several coaches, including many around the basketball, as well as other sports here at Pendleton Heights. But starting off, Lucas and I will recap basketball here for Pendleton Heights. We got a lot to recap. It's been quite a while since the last time we had a coach's show. Of course, winter break happened these last 2 weeks, so we got quite a bit to break down, that including the Madison County Tournament for both boys and girls. For the boys, they started off with their winter break kind of stretch with a Batesville tournament. That was on the 28th. They played two games, lost both of them in two really good matchups. The first one was against Ron Colley. They lost that one 66-56, and then Batesville themselves, they lost that one 69-62. Again, that was the Batesville tournament on the 28th. They then had a couple days to prepare for the Madison County tournament, where they already knew they would be playing Anderson in the first round, a rematch against the Indians. This was a very hyped up matchup. It was here at home. It was sold out. Very, very big crowd came out, and unfortunately, Pendleton Heights just not able to escape the very athletic and very defensive Anderson Indians. They lost that one 53-50, a close one. Again, a great matchup, wasn't able to pull away with it. But then they followed it up with the loser's bracket in the Madison County Tournament. They got two wins down there, the first against Elwood, 63-26, the second against Anderson Prep, 75-38. Taking a look a bit deeper into this Anderson game. Of course, a lot of people like to say, at least in my personal opinion, a lot of years, this Pendleton Heights Anderson matchup in the Madison County tournament is really the championship. You know, these two, at least in my eyes and a lot of other sports reporters and sports writers' eyes, these two are the best teams in Madison County. So this was an early matchup for what many would think would meet in the championship. And the same thing happened last year. Again, in case you missed it, Pendleton Heights lost this one 53-50. Josiah Gustin led, scoring for the Arabians, 16 points. Cooper Sims right behind him with 15, but it wasn't enough to beat Damian King and the Indians. Damian King with 17, shooting 55% from the floor.
You know, that Anderson game was a very great game, and we did play them at home, and we did end up losing that game, but we only did lose by 3. And when you have, you know, Anderson, as you said, is a very tough opponent. I mean, these are two big rivalries, and I mean, we played them first game of the season at Anderson, and we ended up losing that game. And, you know, the big difference from this home game compared to that away game, I mean, first of all, you have the atmosphere, you have the fans here, but also, I mean, just the general improvement overall. I mean, Pendleton is looking like a much more solid squad.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. As you just mentioned, this wasn't the first time these two teams squared off on the hardwood. The first game of the season for the Arabians and the Indians was at Anderson. They lost that one 47-38, so they got their chance at a revenge, and I'm sure a lot of these players wanted it, of course. It's the nearest school here to Pendleton Heights. There's definitely more that they got that backyard rivalry for all sports, and I think basketball really leading that way, as they're very, very close, I think, especially this year in skill level. Both of those games could have gone either way. That first game, it was a 9-point scoring differential, which might be a bit big, but you got to remember the fouls at the end. I think with a minute left, it was a one-basket game. And, of course, the most recent one in the Madison County tournament, that was also a one-basket game. And Anderson is a top 25 team. I mean, Pendleton Heights has shown that they can play ball, and they've shown it against the Anderson Indians. But Pendleton Heights, of course, you did a nice job recovering after that loss. Yeah, as I was just mentioning, you had two big wins in the loser's bracket of the Madison County tournament. Again, the first one against Eldwood, the second against Anderson Prep. Both of those by over 40 points, well, just about 40 points, a bit under 40 points, actually, both of them. But switching things over now to the girls' basketball side of things here, Pendleton Heights, as well as the boys, they had a total of, I guess, 5 games since our last coach's show, two of them not the Madison County tournament. tournament, three of them being the Madison County tournament. The first two, the first one was against Yorktown on the road, or here at home, excuse me, here at home against Yorktown, Hoosier Heritage matchup. They got the win in that one, 69-41. They followed that up 3 days later on the 28th, where they traveled over to Jay County, and they lost that one 59-53. A great matchup against Jay County, a very tough, tough team. A Pendleton Ice just not able to pull away with it. That one was also, could have fallen either way. Casey Warfel had 19, Olivia Jones just behind her with 12, but Jay County, as I was just mentioning, they're a very good team. They're hoping to make a big, big playoff stretch down the line. But for the Madison County tournament for the girls, they first saw Anderson, similar to the boys. They beat them very easily. 62-46 was the final score of that one. Then the second game, the second round against LaPel. And this was a very hyped up matchup. These two teams, similar to Anderson and Pendleton in the boys' side of things, LaPel and Pendleton are more the two top dogs in Madison County when it comes to girls' basketball. And LaPel is a very physical team. They're gonna go at you hard, and unfortunately, Pendleton Heights not able to come away with the win in that one, 63-59. They gave up a 13-point deficit heading into the fourth quarter, so a 13-point comeback for the Lady Bulldogs, and then they followed that up with a win in the third round against Frankton, 48-42, which was a good game. So overall, that LaPel game, it really hurts, but hey, you're gonna have your revenge, Adam, on the 16th. They'll be playing them again here at home.
You know, I'm about to talk about that LaPel game because I ended up doing the game, and it was a heartbreaker. But before we talk about that, I want to talk a little bit about this Anderson game, because it was kind of an odd game for the Lady Arabians. Mm-hmm. You know, Casey Warfel, she did not have the greatest game ever. She only had 8 points and shooting at 17%. But, I mean, the leading scorer actually was Olivia Jones with 29 points and shooting 91%. I mean, she just went off this game. I don't know what was going on, but I mean, it was great to just see her go off like that. And also, I mean, touching up on that LaPel game, man, was it a heartbreaker. I mean, the Lady Arabians ended up, you know, going into the fourth quarter, actually. Fourth quarter, they were leading by 10, and you know, it really just came down to the free throw line, which is where a lot of the points were made by LaPel. They ended up scoring 26 points in that fourth quarter. And, I mean, that just made the whole difference in the world. And also, I mean, we had three players who were fouled out, and two of those being our top players. I mean, Casey Warfel and Ada Hupfer. I mean, when they're fouled out in those last few minutes, it's just hard, you know, to get those rebounds and just to get those easy boards.
Yeah, and you'll hear in a minute, we sat down with Coach Rogers, but he mentioned that someone else needs to step up, right? As you were just saying, Casey Warfel, Ada Hupfer, both of them fouled out in that LaPel game late, and no one really stepped up to take that lead, to take that, you know, the role and to walk away with the win. And that was definitely a heartbreaker, but it kind of helps you got through revenge, Adam. This also happened last year, if my memory serves me correct, where LaPel beat Pendleton Heights in the Madison County tournament. I think that one was the championship, was the only difference, which is, I guess, even more heartbreaking than this year. But then later on in the season, their second game, Pendleton Heights beat them in their second matchup. So I think that one, a lot of the girls are circling that game on their schedule. Going back to that Anderson game, Lucas, you kind of enlightened me there. I didn't realize Casey Warfel struggled in that one. And, yeah, she did quite a bit, as you were just saying there, 8 points, 21% from the floor. Well, that's the adjusted 17%. It was her actual field goal percentage. And, yeah, Anderson possibly the best team so far this year when it comes to shutting down Casey Warfel. But Olivia Jones, you know, I was just mentioning someone needs to take that step up. Olivia Jones in that Anderson game, she had 29, as you were just saying, shooting 91% from the floor, missing only one shot, going 10 for 11 from the field. But overall, pretty good week for Lady Arabians. The boys, you know, you recovered nicely after losing the first round of the county tournament. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and take a short break. And when we return, Zion was able to sit down with some of the girls' swimmers and divers here at Pendleton Heights. That'll be up next after the break here in the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM. Located in Pendleton at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com. Again, that's mycsbin.com.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salon and Style. Detour Salon and Style provides women, men, and children haircuts, special occasions, spa days, gift certificates, float tank therapy, massage therapy, permanent makeup, lash extensions, signature facials, IPL laser therapy, red carpet facials, and treatments such as teeth bleaching, hair removal, and more. On Facebook and Twitter or at DetourSalon.com, Detour Salon and Style.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you here to this segment of the ASN Coaches Show on the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM. I am Zion Palmieri, and today I have here with me two swimmers and divers. I don't know exactly. We'll get into that. What's your guys' name?
My name's Emily Holbert.
My name is Kira Koons.
So getting us started off, Emily, you're a diver, you're a swimmer. What do you do?
I'm just a diver.
And then, Kira, what do you do?
I'm a diver and a swimmer, but I only swim.
Okay, first starting with Emily, what grade are you in?
I'm in 10th grade.
How many years have you been into swimming and diving?
I started when I was young with a club, and then I took 1 year off last year. So I've been doing it since I was about 8, and this is my first year back in a very long time.
Okay, then now to Kira, when did you start diving?
I started diving in 7th grade, so it'll be my 5th year this year, and I am a graduate junior.
So, I mean, how did you both get into this sport?
I struggled as a kid to find a sport that I liked, so my parents were always having me try new and weird things because I didn't necessarily like typical sports, and I was terrible at basketball, I guess, so they had me try diving one day, and I just happened to be, decent at it, so I kept going, and I really enjoy it.
What about the swimming portion of it? Why did you draw more towards diving?
The rest of my family swam, like my older cousin Grace McKinney and Evan McKinney, and even my sister. And I just wanted to try something else. Diving seemed more like something I'd enjoy, and it ended up being like that. And I'm a pretty slow swimmer.
And then for you, why did you get into diving?
I don't even know. It was one of those things. I saw it during swim practice, and I was like, that's pretty cool. And I tried it one day, and I ended up loving it.
What about the swimming part of it? Why? I mean, you said you swim sometimes, but not when you really choose to. Why is that?
I do enjoy, swimming. I guess I did choose to dive or swim in 50 feet, but I'm not very fast in my endurance. Rough. So diving is a little more my speed.
So you guys have both been in the sport a while. What has changed since you guys started?
Since I started diving, club and school dive are very different in the skills that you do. So now that I'm not doing club diving anymore and I'm doing school diving, it's just 1 meter. So you're focusing a lot more on just building and building and building on one particular skill. Because in club you do dry land, 3 meter, all the different things. Now you just completely focus on 1 meter. Sometimes it gets tedious and kind of repetitive, but when you're learning new dives all the time, it's pretty fun.
And then what about you, Kira?
Oh, gosh. I don't really know. I feel like it's pretty similar. I went to club for a couple months this summer, and I guess it's just harder working 12 hours a day during camp, lectures, and dry land platform. It's just, I think it's a lot less overwhelming.
So would you consider this more of a team sport or individually?
That's really interesting that you bring that up. It's something that I think a lot of people question in swimming and diving because it's almost like a track team. Everybody has their own events and they're constantly wanting to get better and racing against themselves. But then at the same time, the place that you're getting in a meet affects your team and whether or not you win. I've noticed a lot. For me, I'm trying to get first place or get a certain score for myself. But I do take into consideration, maybe I just did bad on this dive, but maybe I'll still place higher so I can get points for my team. It's a lot of both, really, but more than anything, I find myself being driven by working to get better than what my last meet was, working against myself and against myself. I think a lot of people would say the same.
What about you?
I personally think it's more of an individual sport because you're trying to get your better time and can't rely on your score. But like, as Emily said, you're really trying to get a better score than what you did first. So whether that's better than someone else's on the other team doesn't matter. It's just...
Okay, so for you guys, how often do you practice?
So I practice every day, Monday through Friday after school, and so does Kira for diving. The swimmers have morning practice on Tuesday and Thursday, but we don't go to those. And sometimes they'll have Saturday morning practice, which occasionally we'll go to. And then also we go to the community center on the weekend sometime and do some dry land skills work on the trampolines, all that.
What does an average like meet look like? Called meets, right? I'm not too knowledgeable in the sport, so it's good I'm doing this.
Yeah, swim meets are, I think they take a really long time, yeah. But I only compete mainly in diving. So my 50s will take maybe 45 seconds a pop. Diving will take
20, depending on the dive. Yeah.
But it like takes so long. It's like 4 hours sometimes.
Yeah. Depending on the size of the teams, if you're having more heats, the diving can honestly really affect the duration of the meet. If you have 5-6 divers from each school and you're doing 6 dives each, that ends up being like, what's 12 times 6? 84, pretty sure 84 dives, which each take about almost a minute each, it or a little less. It can take a very long time.
And sectionals, you have 50 people who are doing 12 or 11. 11 dives.
Yeah, hours and hours.
12 times 6 is 72.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. You guys have been around the sport for a while. What is different about this season than any other season?
I love this so far. I really like the other team. Really here and our team have fun and like really enjoy ourselves. We can do that with bad, but we weren't.
So for both of you guys, who has been your biggest mentor in this whole process? Yes. I mean, what either process for you, just growing as a, individually or just learning how to dive and further the sport?
This is going to sound odd because she's not a diver, but she's a swimmer. As I mentioned earlier, Grace McKinney, my older cousin, she was a swimmer at Pedals Night. She holds 3 records right now, which is a tie for the most records on the board. I look at it all the time, and she's just a big inspiration to me because she's an amazing athlete who works very hard. But not only that, she's a amazing student with an amazing work ethic and time management skills, which I've always looked up to. I've always looked up to her in every way, and now kind of being on the same team that she was, it's just, I look up to her in college now, and she's 100% my inspiration to come and practice and get better because I saw exactly how she did it, and
I feel like mine changes pretty frequently depending on what divers I'm around. For a while, mine was Maddie Heinemann for a couple years. And I went to the club. I got to dive with all these people and like Tyler Downs. Crazy,
Tyler
man.
Downs, crazy.
Oh, and seeing him at practice, like he was just on the board next to me. And it's like, oh my God. But there was him too, and he was a nice guy. And then our coaches at Ripfest were amazing. We're all Olympians. Like, it's cool getting to see them and how they work.
Diving's a pretty small sport, so if you're going to clubs in Indiana where there's very few divers in the first place, you're going to be surrounded by Olympians, and it's a cool experience.
And Indiana has the most.
Well, that's a cool fact.
Yeah.
Well, that is all we have for you today. Thank you guys for joining me. But I'm Zion Palmieri, and you guys were?
Emily Holbert
and Kira Kuhn.
And this is the segment on the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Twister's Soda Bar, located at 3289 West Engle Road, right across from Pendleton Heights High School. Twister's Soda Bar offers a variety of drinks, including sodas, seltzers, lemonades, iced coffee, sweetened or unsweetened tea, snacks, and can combine any of those with their syrups, creams, fruit, candy, and edible glitter. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. More information is available at twistersodabar.com. Twister's Soda Bar. This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Anita's Diner, located at 777 East Water Street in Pendleton. Daily specials both eat in and carry out from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. More information at 765-778-0001. Again, that's 765-778-0001. Anita's Diner.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. I'm Dawson Perrell. Joining me here once again is the head coach for the Lady Arabians basketball team here at Pendleton Heights, Coach Rogers. First off, Coach, before we get into it, thanks for coming down and joining me.
Thanks for having me.
All right, but obviously we got a lot to unpack. It's been a while since we last sat down for the coaches show. You guys had the county tournament over winter break, as well as a couple games before that. Focusing on those couple games, you had Yorktown all the way back on the 20th, Jay County on the 28th. Now, I know that's a while ago, but focusing on that Jay County game, it was a memorable one. Close game, 59-53. Unfortunately, you weren't able to get the win, but that's a tough Jay County squad. So really looking back to that one, what do you think you could have corrected in that one, and how were you guys able to recover heading into county?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing for the last couple, probably the last four, has just been, you know, what team is going to show up. You know, I feel like even in the Anderson game, you know, county, LaPel, Frankton, you know, it's just really been a lack of energy, and then it's trying to find, you know, who's going to be that person to kind of, you know, light the fire and get going. And Jay County was a prime example of that. You know, they came out, we had zero field goals in the first quarter. And, you know, if we don't have that, we win that game. Not that they weren't good looks, they just didn't go down. So, you know, once again, that's adversity. We found a way to even take the lead there late. But, you know, we just got to continue to mature. We got to continue to mature and find a way to, you know, kind of grind those ones out instead of just being close.
Yeah, and focusing on the county tournament itself, just breaking it down, you had your first round matchup here at home against the Anderson Lady Indians. Beat them with a pretty big margin, 62-46. Then your second round, you saw the LaPel Bulldogs and had quite the history with LaPel these last couple of years. Unfortunately, you guys lost that one in the second round, 63-59. Then you followed that up with a nice win against the Frankton Eagles, 48-42. Taking a look at that LaPel matchup, as I just mentioned, a lot of history between you two teams. Very physical squad and a tough one to go against. You had a 13-point lead, if I'm correct, heading into the fourth, but you weren't able to hold it. What really went wrong there in that fourth quarter specifically?
Yeah, you know, we got tight. I think a lot of those girls kind of reverted back to last year. And, you know, they had girls that were poised and made plays, made multiple plays. And, you know, that's also something to kind of to learn on and kind of move forward from. You know, it can't be a situation where, you know, we have to have people step up in games like that of that magnitude. You know, Casey does a lot for us. She did a lot that game. She had 37. Ada had a great game. A lot of other girls had great games with rebounds and assists and things like that. But we got to find more people that, you know, are not afraid of the moment and things like that. But once again, you know, we've been talking the last couple games that our defense has not been what it has been at the beginning of the season, and it showed. You know, we led that for three quarters, and then kind of in the fourth, we were kind of deep in foul trouble. And, you know, I don't know if it was timidness because we didn't want to foul or what, but we got ourselves in a situation where, you know, we weren't getting stops. And, you know, if you want to win in January and February, you have to get stops. And, you know, we had some opportunities. They didn't go down. Papel's a great team. You learn from it. You move on. And you go from there.
Yeah, now looking forward to this week. You guys got only two games on the schedule. Pretty big week of practice, but those days of practice definitely won't go unused, as you got a back-to-back game first against New Palin Friday. Follow that up right away with both of those road games, but the second one being at Rushfield. Now, of course, considering this past couple of weeks with the county tournament and even before that, what do you think you're going to be working on in practice when it comes to improving yourselves a bit more against two tough teams?
Well, number one, I can tell you it's going to be a heavy dose of defense. So yeah. There's going to be lots of breakdown on defense and what we need to do there. You know, we're not shooting it particularly well. So, you know, we'll definitely be working on that. But also, you know, I think that just the competitiveness, you know, when you're playing varsity basketball, you know, it's not just a requirement to be on the team, and that, you know, dictates being on the team, gives you that many minutes. You know, a lot of that comes from putting in the work in practice and kind of proving it there, so that when the time is right, you know, you're able to go out there and get after it and feel comfortable during the game. So, you know, definitely heavy-handed on the defensive end, just because that's where we've been so good throughout the year. And we've kind of sputtered and slipped here mid-December to early January. So that'll be the focus going into New Pal, as we all know it's really hard to play at New Pal, especially for an undefeated conference.
Yeah, and speaking of New Pal, currently they stand at 8-1. Not necessarily their strongest record in most recent years, but 4-1 in the conference. They're very tough against Hoosier Heritage teams. Their only loss in the conference coming against Greenfield Central, which, of course, you know, is a tough team. So heading into this matchup, you just said it's on the road. It's not easy. But when scouting New Pal, them specifically, what do you think you're going to be working towards looking forward against the Dragons?
Yeah, you know, we need to take we need to be able to use our advantages and use them well. You know, and that's being able to pressure without fouling, which has been something that we have not done the last couple of games. We need to be able to turn people over. And when we can't turn them over, we need to be able to get down the stance, force a tough shot, and get a rebound, you know, force a stop. So, you know, they're going to have girls that they're going to play extremely hard. They're going to have girls that can make shots and make plays. They've had some good wins. We just have to know that you're going into a hostile environment. It's never easy playing at New Pal, any sport you do, any sport you play. And no matter what happens, you know, what calls are called, or, you know, whatever kind of adversity comes towards you, you got to be able to keep your head screwed on straight and, you know, keep moving forward and compete. And I think we've kind of lost focus here lately of, you know, kind of controlling what we can control. And, you know, you've heard me say tuning out the noise. I feel like there's a lot of noise right now, and we gotta tune that out and stay focused on us. So, you know, it's going to be a tough one. We're ready for it. Thank goodness we've got some time to kind of work some things out here and keep moving forward. But yeah, Friday night's going to be extremely tough.
Yeah, and as I was mentioning, it's back-to-back. You got the game against New Pal, turn it around with the game at Rushville. Happened a couple times during the season. Of course, you look all the way back to that November time. You had Greenfield Central, then Pike back-to-back days, but those were both home. Now, it's kind of a different story when they're both on the road game. Now, you did have a touch of that, you know, that back-to-back-to-back with the Madison County, but how do you really control your fatigue? Because it can be a problem, especially two far places back-to-back.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, we know the one on Friday night's the important one. Mm-hmm. You know, that's probably the toughest turnaround that we currently have on our schedule. You know, any year, whether it's a home heavy year or a road heavy year. But this one where, you know, it's a boys girls doubleheader. So we'll stay and, you know, we'll watch most of that boys game. Mm-hmm. and then you'll come home and, you know, send them home. But then, you know, to have a, you know, a noon start at Rushville,
yep.
You know, you got to be back here by, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock to kind of get on the bus and start that road trip. So it's hard having a late night and then an early morning to get right back to it. But once again, you're going to have those kinds of scenarios, maybe not where you're traveling, but you got to be back in here early on a Saturday morning to prepare for a sectional championship or something like that. So, you know, there's so many lessons and things you can learn from different types of things like this. Once again, you just got to stay focused on what the goal is. And the goal is to get a Hoosier Heritage Conference championship and then to turn around and be able to perform again and play well against a good Rushville team. So that's going to be the focus. And, you know, we're going to try to get back to kind of expecting excellence and getting back to where we were earlier in the season.
All right, but with that being said, that'll do it for this segment for the Coach's Show. Once again, Coach, thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
All right, but we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Lucas and I will be sitting down with Coach Buck, head coach for the boys' side of things here at Pendleton Heights. That'll be up next after the break on the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is brought to you by House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning, located at 8711 South State Road 9 in Pendleton, serving Pendleton and surrounding communities since 1960, offering residential heating and air conditioning service and installation, as well as financing and preventative maintenance plans. More information is available at 765-778-3838, House of Service Heating and Air Conditioning.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Regenerative Health and Wellness, LLC, located at 526 North Pendleton Avenue in Pendleton. Dr. Foley and the staff of Regenerative Health and Wellness offer services in the area of weight loss, hormone balance, autoimmune issues, and more. Information about Regenerative Health and Wellness is available at 317-903-1791. Regenerative Health and Wellness, LLC.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. We're joined here now with the head coach for the Pendleton Heights Arabians boys basketball side here at Pendleton Heights, Coach Buck. First off, Coach, thanks for coming up and joining us.
Glad to be here, guys.
All right, but starting off, looking back for you guys all the way back, I know it was a little while ago to that Batesville tournament. You guys had two games on that one, the first against Ron Colley, the second on Batesville. Lost both of those, but those were two good games, the first against Ron Colley, a 10-point game, the second a 7-point game against Batesville. So really looking back to that one, what do you think you could have done better and maybe gotten one or maybe even two wins out of that?
Well, I thought we played well in both of the games. I give credit to Ron Colley and Batesville. Yeah. Ron Colley played extremely well, shot lights out. Their good guard had 31 against us. He went 7 of 8 from behind the three-point arc. And I really didn't think that our defense was that poor. Aaron Cookston has done a great job all season long in shutting down and holding our opponent's number one scorers to at least half of their average or below. And in that particular game, I didn't think that his defense was anything different than what it has been. But I give the young man from Ron Colley a lot of the credit. He played extremely well and, like I said, shot it well. And the rest of their team, supporting cast, shot it extremely well as well. So one of those games where I didn't think our play was that poor. I thought that Ron Colley's play was that good. In fact, they played much better. We saw them in person. We saw them in three or four games on film, and that by far was the best game that we saw them play. So that's one of those games where I give them credit. Batesville coming back in the night game. Batesville was not the team that was supposed to be there. They were very disappointed as well. They were favored to win that first game against Columbus North, but they were upset. And so we ran up against a team, the home school. They were more physical than what we were. That physicality was a big part of the game. It bothered us some. But once again, we put ourselves in position at times to get over the hump and take the lead back, and we just failed to make the plays at the times that we need to make them. Josiah Gustin rolled his ankle just prior to that tournament, just before Christmas. He rolled his ankle pretty bad in practice. He was out for over a week before we went to that tournament. We got him back the day before. So Joe was well below 100% in both games, particularly in the Batesville game after playing that morning. That ankle swelled back up, and I thought that he was really, really below 50% probably in the Batesville game. So that was a factor as well. But overall, I give both Batesville and Ron Colley credit for playing well.
Yeah, but moving forward to the county tournament, your first-round matchup was here on your home floor against the Anderson Indians. You lost that one 53-50. Now, you mentioned in the past about Anderson's tough, hard-nosed defense, but considering this wasn't your first matchup against the Indians, how do you think your team played against them specifically on that offensive side?
Well, I thought we played them much better than what we did the first game of the season. I thought that we handled that quickness, that athleticism, and that physicality on defense much better. But once again, there were times in the game where we had turnovers that were costly. Turnovers at points in the game where we were making a run, particularly there towards the end. We were making a run, and we had back-to-back turnovers, gave them six straight points. And I thought that was the difference in that particular game. I thought that Anderson made plays when they had to, and I felt that in critical times, as I mentioned, we failed to make plays.
So you guys played Anderson for your first match of the year. I mean, this recent game was a lot, you know, a lot closer and just a lot better of a game. So what do you think are, you know, some of the thing that you most improved on this game compared to the first game of the season?
Well, we've improved in the area of turning the ball over. Early in the season and even before the season started, I was very concerned about the way we turned the ball over, concerned about our ability to pass the basketball, find the open man. We continue to need improvement in that area, but I think we've shown improvement. We are taking care of the basketball more than what we were early. The big thing is our defense. I've talked about it in past radio shows. This team has come much farther defensively by the midpoint of the season what I thought that they would. So I'm extremely proud of that, and our players, I think, have taken pride in their defense, and that's what it takes, effort and taking pride in defense, and we're at that point right now, but we must continue to improve on the defensive end as well as the offensive end. But that would be two categories that I think that we improved the most. We're playing hard. I'm not disappointed with the team's effort, our competitiveness. Now, we have breakdowns during games where we lose that, so we're working towards, you know, that 32 minutes of effort. But overall, that's not the problem that we've had. I've talked about how we played a very tough schedule, and I've tried to give credit to those teams that have beaten us. We've been right there with an opportunity to win against some really good teams. And unfortunately, that's not going to change from this point forward. The month of January is going to be very challenging for this team. Five of our next seven games are on the road. And of those seven, four of them have been ranked in the top 20 or mentioned in the top 20 at some point or still in that category. So very tough month of January. And then we start off February with two straight games on the road. We have to go to Yorktown and to Muncie Central. So, as I mentioned, the next seven games, we're going to get better, or we're going to struggle going into the sectional. I think this can be a point, win or lose, where this team can get better. We're loaded with seniors. It's time to man up, and it's time to play like seniors. And we'll see. And once again, I'm not going to just base it on what our record's going to be in the next seven games. What I look at, as I've looked at throughout my career and what I've looked at this season, is are we getting better? And when you play a tough stretch like our next seven games, you can get better even if you lose. We don't want to lose. We want to win every game. and our players want to win every game. But we still want to be the best we can be going into the month of March, going into a very tough sectional. And I think that our next seven games can help us get to that point, just taking them one game at a time and one possession at a time.
So looking deeper into this Anderson game, you conquered the rebound game by having 22 rebounds compared to Anderson's 14 rebounds. So how did you succeed at rebounding?
A lot of rebounding effort. I talked to you about effort earlier in the show. I think the effort's there. And our block off, being able to block off and being consistent in block offs, not taking rest breaks on block off, taking pride in blocking off every single time the ball goes on the glass. And we're getting closer to that as well. We have some players that, were not very good at that early in the year. And they've really improved. And once again, most of that is being focused and being willing to block off, being willing to compete and play defense. And our players are buying into that. And that's what I said. I'm proud of them for that. But we must continue to work in that category.
Yeah, and you guys were able to recover after that first round loss with two dominating wins over Elwood and then Anderson Prep. And despite those two teams not having the best seasons, how were you and the team able to jump back up and get to the total of six wins you have now?
Well, once again, none of the teams in the consolation round wanted to be there.
Yeah,
we were very, very disappointed. We wanted to be in that championship round, but it it's a challenge to take a team into that atmosphere, not wanting to be there, and then you're playing two teams that were supposed to be handedly. And what I'm proud of this team about is we stuck with what we have been practicing. We stuck with what we have been preaching offensively and defensively, and we didn't stray away from that. We did not make it a one-on-one game or a run-and-gun game, a chance to show our own individual talents. I thought that we stayed within ourselves. I thought that we played extremely hard on both ends of the court, and that was well-sustained. We attacked it by trying to win every quarter. Another positive thing about being in the consolation round, we were able to play everyone on the team. We took 12 players to the tournament, and we were able to play all 12. We platooned. We actually played a quarter at a time. We would play five for a quarter, then we'd sub the next five in for the second quarter throughout both of those games. So that was a positive. And then we attacked it, like I said, trying to win every quarter. No matter what the score was at halftime, we went out, we wanted to win the third quarter, whichever five players were in there. Then the next five players wanted to win the fourth quarter. And we were successful in that category as well. So that I thought that took mental toughness on our players' part, playing against the game, not just playing against an opponent that we were supposed to beat. So it was a disappointment, but it ended up being a positive. The players had fun. They had fun. They were happy for everyone getting to play, and it ended up being a positive out of a negative.
Yeah, and one last question here. You guys have a big week ahead of you guys. Of course, you already touched a bit on it, but you got New Pal on Friday, Shelbyville on Saturday, both of those being conference games. But how do those two dominating wins against Elwood and then Anderson Prep give you guys some of that confidence moving forward against these two tough teams? And how are you going to – or what are you going to have to do to top them?
Well, we try to build – and, we can build off of winning the two games that I told you. We were heavy favorites, but – We would rather build off of this week of practice. We had a good practice tonight. We had a good practice on Saturday. We would like to build off of that going into this week, more, even more so than the last two games that we played in the consolation round. And, we know that we're going to have our hands full with both of these teams, and they're both on the road. New Pal number one, we've struggled with New Pal. They've been a very good basketball team and a good basketball program for the last several years. And Gizzy's back. We've watched a lot of film. We've seen them in person. and we're going to have our hands full against them. They're a physical team, as they have been in the past. So we'll have to play extremely well at New Pell to win that game. And then once again, you have to bounce back Saturday morning, come in and go through a work through and prepare and refocus. Whether we win at New Power, whether we lose, you have to be able to handle that, forget that game, and move forward with the Shelbyville game. And that's a long bus ride. Always found that's a very difficult place to play. I don't know if it's a long bus ride that bothers your players or not, but that'll be another challenge that will present itself Saturday night.
All right, but with that being said, that'll do it with our time here with Coach Buck. Once again, Coach, thanks for coming up and joining us.
Thank you.
All right, but we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Lucas and I will take a look at some of the other sports around Pendleton Heights, just recapping them, some of the other winter sports, that is. So that'll be up next after the quick pause here on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEN.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Dr. Dannereit's Dental Studio, offering dental care for children and adults, as well as the education for the maintenance of your dental health. More information is available by phone at 765-221-5900, on-site at 113 South Heritage Way in Pendleton, or online at drdannereit's.com. Dr. Dannereit's Dental Studio.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Rawlings House in Fall Creek Retirement Village, located at 300 J.H. Walker Drive in Pendleton. Rawlings House provides independent and assisted living, rehabilitation, long-term care, memory support, and more. More information is available at 765-778-7501. Rawlings House in Fall Creek Retirement Village.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM. If you're just tuning in alongside Lucas Williams, I'm Dawson Perrell. For our final segment here this afternoon, we're going to take a look at some of the other sports happening around Pendleton Heights High School, starting off here with the boys wrestling side of things. They got a meet tomorrow, the 9th. They're going to be traveling over to Fishers to face off against the Tigers. Fishers, of course, a big school, very good at every sport, and I think that includes wrestling. So that'll be quite the matchup for the Arabians. Of course, they've had some success so far this year. They've saw some tough teams, some nice invites. The girls had their regionals, of course, as the girls. But for the boys, you know, they had their Super 6 a little while ago. They had a couple invites other than that, and then a couple just one-on-one meets. And, you know, they're having a good season. Of course, you got a lot of seniors this year. We've talked about that in the past. Really, last year, I know they didn't have a single senior on the team, and this year it's very different. Just taking a look at those posters over there, you got 6 seniors hanging up in the gym, so that's definitely a big difference, and I think with that, some experience comes into play, which can play a big part. And again, you got Fishers there tomorrow, and then for the girls, they're going to be having their state finals on the 12th. That's going to be at Kokomo, and the boys will be back at it with a Heritage Christian matchup on the 13th. That is this Saturday. It's going to be here at Pendleton Heights. So big week for wrestling as a whole. Of course, the boys, I was just mentioning, got Fishers as well as the conference tournament Heritage, the Hoosier Heritage, and then finally the girls will be playing on Friday with their state finals over at Kokomo. But taking a look over here, looking at a bit of basketball, of course, we've already looked at that with the coaches, but starting off with the boys, as we just previously spoke to Coach Buck, they have 2 matchups this upcoming week. The first against New Pal, that is at New Pal, and their second, which is on Saturday the 13th at Shelbyville. Again, as Coach Buck was just talking about, new big player for New Pal, Julius Gizzy, averaging a whopping 29 points a game, as well as 7.5 rebounds a night. He is a very, very lethal threat. He can do it all. And I'm not sure exactly, Coach Buck didn't say, but my guess is Aaron Cookson will be guarding Julius Gizzy. Aaron Cookson has been the guy so far this year that's been tasked with guarding whoever the top player may be for the opponent. And I'm sure that's going to be Aaron Cookson guarding Julius, but we'll see. And I mean, he's been doing a great job this season when it comes to shutting down the opponent's top player, and I'm sure the Arabians are hoping that can continue against New Pal.
Yeah, I mean, looking at that New Pal game, I mean, and specifically Julius Gizzy, I mean, he is an overall just a great player. And, I mean, he's definitely going to be that one player that you are going to have to stop in order to get this win. And, I mean, this is, you know, if they can do really good on the game against New Pal, I mean, that's only going to boost their confidence. And, I mean, they're already going to have a little bit more confidence, you know, with those two dominating wins against Elwood and Anderson Prep. And, I mean, they're going to need all the confidence that they can get for this whole entire January. As he said, this is a very tough month for the Arabians. But, I mean, we wish them the best of luck.
Yeah, and then that second matchup, Shelbyville, Coach Buck was mentioning, that's a long drive going over to Shelbyville. That can definitely slow you down, especially coming off of a game the night before. Of course, last season, the Arabians, both of those games were at home. It was actually played at the middle school last year as the high school had some court damage. But still, that was, of course, at home, more or less, you know, only about a minute and a half drive over there. So it's going to be a different challenge against those two teams. Not only are they different teams, whether that be for better or for worse, but at the same time, considering both of those are road, that's definitely going to have an effect. Taking a look here at the girls' side of things. Of course, we already talked with Coach Rogers on a couple of their games upcoming, but they also got a back-to-back, and they're going to be at New Pal for the 12th. In case you missed it, they kind of got a boys-girls doubleheader there. The girls will be playing first at New Pal at 6 o'clock, and the boys will be playing at 7:30. For the girls, New Pal isn't really having the best year. They are 4-1 in the conference, very good against Hoosier Heritage teams. So that could be a challenge. You always got to watch out against those conference teams, but I think the Arabians are favored for that one. We'll see if they can get the win there. Then they're going to follow that up with a road game over at Rushville. That one's going to be at 1:30, an afternoon game. And as Coach Rogers was mentioning in our interview, it's always tough, you know, getting back from a place late at night and then the next morning, really, probably around 10 a.m., maybe 11, really only 10. I can't imagine any later than 10. You're going to have to be on the bus and going to Rushville. So similar to the boys, I think fatigue is going to be a big effect on this weekend, but you got a long week to prep for it again for both the boys and the girls.
Yeah, so as you were saying, those two back-to-back games, I mean, those are going to be maybe a little bit draining for the girls. However, thankfully, those are not, you know, the best opponents that they're going to be facing this year. However, looking at the 16th, they are going to be playing against LaPel. However, they are going to be playing at home. So hopefully we'll have, you know, the Lady Ravens will have a little bit of a home court advantage, you know, especially after that, you know, that close game against LaPel and that heartbreak. I mean, and also, I mean, looking at last season, that loss in the championship, I mean, they're going to have even more revenge in their blood and hopefully just have an outstanding game against them at the Joe Buck Court.
All right, but with that being said, that'll do it for our coaches show here this evening. Once again, alongside Lucas Williams, I'm Dawson Peril. Special thanks to the board up back in the studio making sure our broadcast this evening goes over smoothly. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Without you, we would not be able to come out here, call these games, and do these talk shows. And finally, thanks to all who tuned in this evening. Have a nice night. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.